Hello and welcome to the news recorded on Wednesday, the 18th of January 2017. I'm Sue.
I'm Ian.
And I'm Joyce.
Your sound engineers this week are John and Martin. And this week we would like to welcome the following new member. That's Joan Gregory Bartosz. We hope you'll receive the discs and enjoy them very much. We'd like to say a big thank you to the listeners who have already sent us a donation last week towards the funding of our Talking News and Magazine, and that is Anne Holyhead. And now Ian will start us off with the news.
Dudley Zoo's record-breaking year has been given an extra boost after final figures revealed that more than 310,600 people had been welcomed through the gates during the past 12 months. Staff are celebrating after the final figures for 2016 were counted up and also revealed that 21,373 people stopped by the site in December alone. Before Christmas, the zoo revealed it would pass the 300,000 mark for the first time in 30 years, but the numbers kept on growing until reaching a total of 310,672. This represents an 11% increase on last year's figure. The attraction also broke records for its Winter Wonderland grotto, which ran in the 11th century Dudley Castle between December 1st and 24th. During the month, 15,206 visitors popped in to see Santa, an increase of 2,615 on the previous year. Zoo Director Derek Grove said, "We've worked hard to enhance the experience for visitors by introducing new species and opening innovative all-weather exhibits to allow them to get closer to the animals, and we're thrilled so many people decided to have a great day out at Dudley Zoo throughout 2016. Visitors to the site were able to see some changes, including new additions such as rainbow lorikeets and a giant anteater, as well as 20 flamingos, a female snow leopard and 5 wild dogs. The zoo has recently announced plans for redevelopment projects totalling £345,000 across the 40-acre site in 2017. This includes the reopening of the former tropical birdhouse as a South American indoor exhibit for the attraction's 80th anniversary in May. One of the other schemes planned for next year, costing £100,000, is work to increase the size of the snow leopard enclosure, which is due to be completed by the summer. There are also plans to improve facilities for younger visitors by extending the farmyard, which is very popular with children and their families. The 3 existing small aviaries, which date back to the 1980s, will also be replaced. And, while we're still in Dudley, the creator of Peaky Blinders has given an update on Series 4 and said filming is set to start soon. The show, which is partly filmed at the Black Country Museum just around the corner from the zoo in Dudley, will begin filming in the spring. Stephen Knight said scripts have recently been finalised. The first 2 seasons of the BBC gangster drama came within a year of each other. There was then a gap of a year and a half between Season 2 and 3. A similar time gap hints at a spring 2018 release by the BBC.
The proposed move of Wolverhampton Market to a new city centre home has been given a mixed reaction from its traders and shoppers. Traders will relocate from Market Square to a new home in Cleveland Street on the site formerly used by Netto and a furniture store. It will pave the way for a £55 million regeneration scheme to dramatically transform the western part of the city centre. The West Side scheme includes a multi-screen cinema, restaurants, bars, hotel, multi-storey car park, apartments and a public open space. The new market on Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday and Saturday will front onto Cleveland Street, opposite the Wolf Run shopping centre, which is hoped will boost the numbers of shoppers. The old Netto store and adjoining buildings were demolished last year. The move will see 48 tented stalls and 16 purpose-built cabins transfer from Market Square, and it is anticipated the move will be completed towards the end of this year, but not during the Christmas period. Many of those who use the market regularly said that they would welcome the more central location. Richard Latham, aged 52, who runs a fruit and vegetable stall, said it would be a better location. it would be better than here, because here is on the edge of town. It is more sort of centralised around there. It is a good move. Weekly shopper Ted Garbutt, 84, from Bilston, added, "Yes, I would be happy with the move. We come on the bus, and we have to walk from the bus station to here. At our age, it's a bit rough on the knees." Others of the market questioned whether the move was really necessary. Parsan Jassal, 62, who runs a stall selling household goods, said, "It is a waste of time. Why spend that much money on this market first?"
Cash-strapped Dudley Council has paid out more than £8 million in mileage costs to staff over the past 5 years, paying out 10p more per mile than the recommended amount. Last year alone, the council could have paid out around £200,000 more than it needed to. The authority has been paying its workers 55p per mile, even though the mileage payment suggested by the government's Revenue and Customs Department is 45p per mile. Between January and December last year, the council paid over £1.2 million in mileage expenses, although if it had stuck to the recommended rate, that bill could have instead been £981,800. The rate is 55p per mile for the first 8,500 miles and 13.7p per mile thereafter. If all the claims last year were at the 55p rate, the council would have paid out an extra £218,200. The figures follow the council's plans to raise council tax by nearly 4% announced last November, which hopes to raise an additional £4 million a year. Councillor Bill Etheridge said, "At a time when Dudley Council has constantly been moaning about the lack of resources they have and the amounts of cuts to essential frontline services that they've had to make, it's disgraceful to hear these figures." Councillor John Martin, Cabinet Member, said, "We've scrapped user allowances, including those for bosses, and introduced a single mileage rate for all claims for essential work-related travel. Further savings of around 20% are anticipated in essential work travel mileage costs in the 2017-2018 financial year."
A Rottweiler was left neglected in a garden shed with little food and water for up to 3 months, said the RSPCA. When an RSPCA inspector arrived in Tipton to rescue 9-year-old Rottweiler Tyson, she said he was in such a bad way that she could not tell what breed he was. The animal charities said that the dog was in an emaciated condition when they arrived to help on September 3rd last year. He had a severe skin condition from head to tail, open sores on his legs and infected eyes. The inspector immediately took him to a vet where he was put to sleep on humane grounds as he was so poorly. His owner, Sandra Sanger, 42, of David Peacock Close in Tipton, appeared at Birmingham Magistrates Court on Friday. She pleaded guilty to causing unnecessary suffering to Tyson. The court banned her from having an animal for 10 years. Sanger was given a 15-week prison sentence, suspended for 2 years, and was ordered to pay costs of £300 and £115 victim surcharge. RSPCA Inspector Dawn Burrell, who investigated the case, said, "When I looked in the shed, Tyson was collapsed in a corner by a hole where he was exposed to wind and rain. He was in a terrible way and there was no food or water for him. Sadly, he had been in this way for at least 3 months. Tyson's skin was so crusty and sore from his skin condition that I couldn't tell what breed he was. On top of that, he was very thin and had horrible sores on his legs and pus coming out of his eyes. He was very clearly neglected and was so weak that I had to carry him from the shed to my van to get him to the vets. There is no doubt about it, he suffered terribly. I still haven't forgotten the sight of him curled up in the corner of that shed."
A woman who fell while running for a bus died in hospital after being operated on the next day, an inquest heard. Caroline Murakura, aged 46, slipped in Wolverhampton bus station, fracturing her right thigh bone. She was taken to A&E at New Cross Hospital. She later signed a consent form to be operated on, but didn't disclose that she had ischemic heart disease and suffered a cardiac arrest on October the 31st, 2 days after the fall on October the 29th. The family of Miss Marukawa insisted that more detail should have been received from her usual consultant at Russell's Hall Hospital in Dudley prior to the operation. But New Cross consultants said that it needed to be done sooner rather than later, with the fracture being severe. Assistant Coroner Angus Smiley gave a conclusion of accidental death after the fall. The hearing was told that Miss Marukawa already had several underlying health conditions, including kidney disease, end-stage renal failure, and two-type diabetes. She was given morphine in A&E for the pain, but the on-duty doctor felt that she was not in the right frame of mind to sign the operation consent form at that time, the court heard. She did sign it later that night, once another doctor assessed that she was capable of making that decision. Consultant Dave Simpson said, "If we had thought that there was no way the lady would have survived surgery, we would have stopped and assessed it, but the operation was in her best interest." An ECG conducted before the operation flagged up no causes for concern. The cause of death given was acute ventricular failure due to ischemic heart disease and a fracture of the femur. Mr. Smiley said, "I am satisfied that the procedures followed were appropriate and the risk was analysed as necessary."
A man arrested after the iconic Billy Wright statue outside Wolves Molyneux Stadium was damaged in a crash has been bailed. The plinth on which the statue of the Wolves in England legend stands was ripped apart after a car crashed into it. Three concrete slabs have torn off the structure, while the board which carries Wright's name was smashed in two. He was bailed by police until next month, pending further inquiries. The statue was cordoned off yesterday following the crash. After the crash, a spokesman for Wolves said, "The club staff will be assessing the damage done to the statue with a view to carrying out restoration work as soon as possible." The 9-foot bronze statue was unveiled by Billy's widow, Joy, in 1996 and is considered to be one of the finest football statues in the country. It depicts the former Wolves and England captain who earned 105 caps for his country, leading out his team. He died in 1994, aged 70.
A convicted rapist has complained about his life in a Staffordshire jail, saying he can't watch television in his cell and only gets £4 a week in private cash. John Painter, 25, from Walsall Road, Walsall, also bemoaned his loss of visitor hours and time to associate with his fellow prisoners as he is on the basic regime inside Her Majesty's Prison, Stafford. Painter is serving time in the sex offenders prison, which also houses the notorious paedophile Rolf Harris, after raping a woman who had offered him a couch to sleep on when he said he had nowhere to stay. He was jailed for 8 years and 7 months back in December 2014 after admitting rape, assault and attempting to pervert the course of justice at Wolverhampton Crown Court. The court heard how Painter struck after his victim took pity on him. He left the address, threatening to kill the woman if she told the police. He has now penned a letter to Inside Time, the national magazine for prisoners, bemoaning his lack of privileges inside. In his letter, Painter said he had spent most of his time inside on the basic regime because of petty rules in the system and some fault of his own. He continued, "Basic is nothing but extra punishment that can be given out without trial or evidence, sometimes without warning, just because staff don't like the look of you or suspect you of not conforming to their ideal prisoner."
Traders pulled up a family's driveway in Wolverhampton, then put a note through the door with a bill for £2,500. Nurse Tracy Jones was horrified to find a muddy patch of land where her drive used to be on returning to her home in Finchfield. She then discovered a bill had been pushed through the door asking for the cash. It came days after she had turned down work on the drive from a man who had knocked on the door. Wolverhampton Council is now warning people to be on their guard, as Trading Standards are looking into the case and the police have been informed. Tracy answered the door to a man in his late 20s who offered to resurface her garden and driveway for a knockdown price. She told him she was considering giving the driveway a facelift, but was not prepared to agree to the work on the doorstep and would contact him if she wanted the work to be carried out. I couldn't believe it when I came home the following evening and my front garden had been completely dug up and they'd left a bill for £2,500, said Tracy. The man had left the bill, which he signed as John, with a leaflet for Company P&S Paving Limited. The man had also nailed a sign to a nearby tree with a contact number. The bill read, to dig out all slabs and gravel area, then to remove it all and to put a new layer of block pavers all around, then to put a new layer of hard acre, then to put a new layer of sub-base down, then to newly tarmac it all and roll it down to a smooth finish. To be paid on completion of customer's satisfaction. John at P&S Paving, which also has a premises in Dudley, said, it was just a misunderstanding. I thought I had permission to carry out the work. That's why we did it. Anyone who thinks they might have been affected by anything similar is asked to call Citizens Advice on 0345 404 0506.
An upgraded helicopter will soon be serving the region after the Midlands Air Ambulance charity were awarded £1 million from banking fines. The charity, which runs from its base in Dudley Road, was awarded the money by the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Philip Hammond. Hannah Seabright, Chief Executive for the charity, said, the injection of funds via the banking fine comes as a very welcome news at the charity, as it will help further enhance our vitally important emergency service. The allocation has enabled us to place an order for an upgraded H145 helicopter, which will cost around £7 million. The charity currently owns one EC-135 helicopter based at RAF Cosford in Shropshire and leases two further EC-135 models from Babcock Mission Critical Services. The new H145 helicopter will provide a great number of benefits to the cause, including a larger interior so young patients can be flown accompanied by a parent or the elderly with a carer or spouse, and will enable improved medical equipment to be carried on board to treat more complex emergencies. Hannah added, the new helicopter will be built over the next 18 months and will become operational in 2018. It is positive news for us at the charity and the communities we serve, as it will ultimately benefit our patients for generations to come.
Drivers face round-the-clock motoring mayhem on one of the busiest commuter routes in the Black Country, as a £1.5 million scheme to reduce serious bottlenecks is extended. Road closures at the busy junction on the Wolverhampton-Dudley border, currently taking place during off-peak hours only, will now see a 24/7 shutdown until the end of March. Off-peak lane restrictions on A4123 Birmingham New Road will also see a 24-hour closure 7 days a week, making it just one open lane in both directions. The scheme, centred on the key junction at Birmingham New Road and Shore Road, is aimed at reducing traffic congestion, improving condition for cyclists and pedestrians, and addressing safety concerns following several accidents at the spot. The works are currently taking place during 9:30 a.m. 3:30 p.m. from Monday to Friday, allowing no left turn from Birmingham New Road northbound into Shore Road. The longer working hours mean Shore Road will have a 24-hour closure in force on both sides, 7 days a week, between Birmingham Road and Hinchcliffe Avenue on the east side and from Birmingham New Road to Foster Avenue on the west side. Councillor Steve Evans, Cabinet Member for City Environment, said this is a key pinch point on the A4123 corridor that restricts access to a number of local development sites and strategic through routes, impacting on potential jobs and growth in the local area. The scheme is a joint venture between Wolverhampton and Dudley Councils to help unlock the development of housing on six sites: Bilston Urban Village and Ward Street in Wolverhampton, land off Darkhouse Lane and Pear Tree Lane in Coesley, the Coesley Eco Park, and land off Bloomfield Road, Tipton.
Bosses at a Black Country pub are clinking their glasses after hearing the news their very own ale has been named West Midland Champion Beer of the Year. The Beacon Hotel's renowned 6% Sarah Hughes Dark Ruby Mild has been picked above all competitors in the region and given the title by judges at Camera. The beer, one of the strongest milds in the country, is pulled around 2,000 times a week at the pub on Bilston Street in Sedgley. Simon Massey, operations manager, said, "We're over the moon as it's a great achievement, but it's all down to teamwork, hard work and dedication from the staff at the pub." The owner of the pub, John Hughes, is still very passionate about the business and it's all down to him. He reinstated the brewery in 1987 and it's just gone from strength to strength. The Beacon Hotel pub brews it in its Victorian Tower brewery and brews its beers in open copper, a type of brewing process that is slowly becoming obsolete in the country. The pub is well known for its original features, including a snob-screened island bar.
A man has been charged by police after a flare was thrown onto the pitch during Starbridge's FA Cup clash at Wycombe Wanderers. Daniel David Ingram has been charged by Thames Valley Police with throwing a missile onto a football playing area under the Football Offences Act 1991. The 28-year-old of Birmingham Road, Kidderminster, was arrested at the game at Adams Park and has since been bailed to appear at High Wycombe Magistrates Court on Monday, January 30th. The flare was thrown from the Starbridge section of the crowd about 30 minutes into the third round tie, with fans quick to alert stewards to who they thought committed the offence. A spokesman for the Football Association said they were aware of what happened and will be contacting the clubs. The Glasboys are already in hot water with the FA after a flare was thrown onto the pitch in their second round FA Cup match against Northampton Town at the War Memorial Ground. Chairman Andy Portney released a statement before the Wycombe game pleading with the fans not to repeat the offence. It is currently unknown as to what action the FA will take against the club for the incidents.
Slip roads on the M5 will be closed overnight for more than 3 months at the Birchley Island in Oldbury, forcing drivers to take long detours. Traffic will not be able to get on or off the motorway at the busy roundabout, which leads on to junction 2 of the M5, after 9 p.m. until May, once the closures come into force later this month. Both the northbound and southbound sides will be affected. It means people needing to get onto the M5 during the night will have to head either to West Bromwich or to Hales Owen. Those coming off will also need to do so at either Junction 1 for West Bromwich or Junction 3 for Hales Owen. The closures have been announced by the Highways Agency, Highways England, which will be carrying out major repairs on the slip roads, including resurfacing and waterproofing. The first night closure was on January 16th and will continue until April 30th. Slip roads will reopen at 6 a.m. each morning. While Albion is not due to play any night matches at the Hawthorns during the period, the roadworks have the potential to clash with any FA Cup replays they might be involved in. Oldbury councillor Suzanne Hartwell urged drivers to be patient during the works. She said, "Whatever they do, there is going to be disruption. But if they need to do roadworks, it is the best time to do it. It's better than 9 in the morning. It will cause disruption, but I would ask drivers to be patient and be cautious on the roads while this is going on. It is the latest motorway works project to hit the region, coming hot on the heels of a six-month project on the M6 at Great Barr. It is also the precursor to a much larger project on the M5, which could last up to 2 years.
Piles of rubbish, including furniture, boxes and large bin liners filled with clothes and household waste, were dumped yards from a tip. The unsightly mess was left in front of the derelict former Strikers bowling site for 3 days before it was removed by the council. Residents say the spot has become a hotbed for fly tipping in recent years, a problem which they claim has been exacerbated by reduced opening hours at the tip on Shaw Road in the city. Both the Shaw Road site and the city's other main public refuse dump in Anchor Lane, Bilston, have had their opening hours slashed as the cash-strapped authority bids to cut costs. Shaw Road is now closed on Thursdays and Fridays, with Anchor Lane shutting every Tuesday and Wednesday. Tory councillor Paul Singh said, "If the tips were open 7 days, then we wouldn't be facing this problem. The council needs an urgent rethink." Wolverhampton Council is planning to close the Shaw Road and the Anchor Lane tips and replace them with a huge super dump in the East Park area. Last year, the authority said it was dealing with 234 instances of fly tipping every month, leaving the authority with a costly clean-up bill to tackle the problem. In 2015-16, the council's public realm cleansing team attended 2,359 reports of fly tipping.
A historic canal which runs through Wolverhampton will get £120,000 revamp this year. The Birmingham Canal Old Main Line runs through the city as well as other parts of the Black Country. Now a new programme of work will see the canal's lock gates replaced and historic brickwork restored. The works are being carried out by skilled craftsmen and engineers from the Canal and River Trust, the charity that looks after for 2,000 miles of waterways as part of its annual winter maintenance programme. The works on the Wolverhampton flight will see £120,000 invested in new lock gates, repairing brickwork and replacing lock ladders, which enable boaters to climb up out of locks. Work is expected to be completed in early February in order for the repairs to take place. Sections of the canal will be drained of water and hundreds of fish rescued and moved to other parts of the canal. The old lock gates can then be lifted out by a crane and new ones fitted. The new lock gates are handcrafted using traditional methods in the Trust specialist workshops at Bradley and Stanley Ferry in Yorkshire. A single lock gate can take up to 20 days to make and has a working life of between 25 and 30 years. In order to be watertight, they need to be built very precisely, fitting tightly to the masonry of the lock walls and to each other. Ian Lane, waterway manager for the Canal and River Trust, said, "It's painstaking, specialised work, but the canal is an important part of the region's heritage. So it is right that we devote some time and craftsmanship to help continue its restoration and protect it for future generations."
An accountant who swindled money from a recycling firm where 5 workers were killed in a tragic accident has been jailed. Joanne Perry from Walsall pocketed £30,000 from Leachels-based Shredmet last summer. The 45-year-old, of Walstead Road in the Delves, made payments into her own account from the company coffers before and after tragedy struck in July when a wall collapsed and claimed the lives of 5 people. Perry had removed the money for herself on several occasions between June 30th and September 19th. In December, she appeared before magistrates having pleaded guilty to fraud by abuse of position. On January 5th at Birmingham Crown Court, Judge Melbourne Inman QC sentenced Perry to 2 years and 4 months in prison. Prosecutors are seeking to recoup her fraudulent gains through the Proceeds of Crime Act. On July 7, a huge wall made up of 1.5-tonne concrete blocks collapsed at the Hawkswood metal recycling site in Birmingham around 8:40 a.m. Five men who were working next to the 15-foot structure were pronounced dead at the scene. They were all Spanish nationals, originally from the Gambia. Another man was taken to hospital with serious leg injuries. The victims were named Saibo Saila, Usman Jabi, Mohammed Jangana, as well as Alimamo Jame and Bangale Dukure, who were both from Aston. All the men were married with young families. Mr. Saila had 3-year-old twins, and Mr. Jangang had a baby.
And with that final news item from Ian, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Sue.
Goodbye from Ian.
And goodbye from George.